Good morning. It's good to see y'all. Please turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. Luke 18. Last time, if you remember, we went through 15 through 30. Jesus' desire was for all people to come to him, even little children. In fact, Jesus said, whoever doesn't receive the kingdom humbly like a child will not enter it. God exalts the humble. He receives the humble. He humbles the proud. He does not receive the proud and the arrogant into the kingdom of God. He receives the humble and the one with faith like a child. And as we said before, that's not immature faith. It's humble faith. And then we read of the rich ruler. If you remember, he asked Jesus, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus, after correcting him and instructing him, there's no one good except God. Jesus showed him, really, the reality of that truth, didn't he? I think two things happened there. He was saying, why are you calling me good? Are you calling me God? And if he was, he would be right. But I think he was also pointing out, you're not as good as you think you are. There's no one good except God. And, you know, Jesus tells him, well, if you want to inherit eternal life, obey the commands. Pretty simple. Just obey the commands. And he says, the rich ruler, well, I did that. Really? Did you? Okay, well then, obey the commands. Do not covet. Sell your stuff. Don't store up treasure where moths and rust is going to come and destroy it all. Sell it. Give it to the poor. Can you do that? Can you do that, rich ruler who has obeyed all the commands since he was a child? And the text says that he left sad because he was very rich. Well, why is he sad? You've obeyed the commands. You know you shouldn't covet. Just sell your stuff. You'll have treasure in heaven. He walks away sad. He would not do what Jesus told him to do. Isn't that a problem? Good teacher, what must I do? Jesus tells him what to do. And he says, I can't do that. I won't do that. Has this happened to you before? You ask Jesus to lead you and show you the way to go, and he does, but you don't go. Well, anyway, this rich ruler, his actions showed that he didn't have the faith that he thought he had. He wouldn't humble himself. He wouldn't become poor in the world so that he could be rich in heaven. He refused to obey Jesus. And then that led right into Jesus telling us how difficult it is for a rich man to be saved. In fact, for anyone to be saved. Unless God is involved, quote, what is impossible with man is possible with God. That was verse 27. I pray God would give us faith and sorrow for sin that leads to repentance. And that we would have humble faith too. Let's have a word of prayer before we start today's text. Thank you, Father, for bringing us here. Thank you for each person. Thank you for having mercy on them. Thank you for the blessings that we've read about this morning and thought about. Father, we are blessed because you are causing us to be blessed. Thank you. Would you help me now as I teach? Would you help us all as we listen? That we wouldn't just hear it, like water running through a pipe. But Lord, that we would hear it, that we would understand it, that we would seek to put these things into our faith. Please, Lord, I pray that you would touch us with your Holy Spirit. And we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, today's text, will, God willing, we'll read 31 through 43. Please stand while we read the Word of God. Verses 31 through 43 of chapter 18. Taking the 12, he said to them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and shamefully treated, and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise." But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. As he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. And they told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus, again, is trying to tell his disciples that his role is as a suffering servant. Just as the prophets have written, quote, "I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting." Isaiah chapter 50. Quote, "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not." Isaiah 53. Why would Jesus allow evil men to do this to him? It's horrific. And the reason is because it's God's command for him to die for the sins of his people. It's God's command for Jesus, the Son of God, to humble himself and take on the form of a servant, even to become God in the flesh, to be abused by humans. It's God's desire to set an example for all believers that would come after Jesus. You think you're above suffering? The Savior was acquainted with grief. And Jesus, listen, he is completely committed to his Father's will. If you think about when Jesus is crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Or when he's in the garden and he's praying, "If it's possible, Lord, let this cup not come." Don't misunderstand that that's Jesus waffling on his commitment to God's will. It is not that. He is 100% committed to God's will. He is God. Can God disagree with God or be unsure? He's 100% committed. Quote, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." John chapter 4, verse 34. And the work that Jesus is finishing is God's work to redeem his people. What work? What people? The people who've been in bondage since Adam. All humans. This is what we teach, what the Bible teaches. Total hereditary depravity. Why? Well, because your dad had it. Why did he have it? His dad had it. But why did he have it? His dad had it. All the way back to Adam. And what God's work is through Christ is to undo that. And Jesus, there's no thing that he won't do to accomplish God's will. Even death on a cross, a very shameful way to die. Can you imagine? I'm still astounded by the faith of the thief on the cross with Jesus. I am astounded. He says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. What kingdom? He's dying on a cross like a criminal in shame. There's no kingdom. It's over. This is not what the thief believed. What faith? Would you have that kind of faith? I mean, I know he's a criminal, but that was real faith. And Jesus said so. You'll be with me in paradise. But the cross, have you ever seen the movie The Passion of Christ? I didn't watch it for many years, and I'm not sure why. I'm not sure that I'd say I think it's wrong for somebody to depict Jesus. I'm not sure. But I didn't watch it for many years. And then I was on an overseas flight, and there's a million movies, and that was one of the movies, and I watched it. And I knew that it was horrific, but if you've seen it, you know what I mean. It is a very, very evil device that the Romans came up with. Very evil. And the suffering is horrible. But Jesus, the Bible says, humbled himself, and even to the point of death on a cross, so that he could redeem his people. Through his suffering, he would absorb the wrath of God. It should be for us, but he would absorb it that we might be saved. Right? This is an often used verse that's misquoted. By his stripes we are healed. It does not mean we won't have any illnesses. The point is, his suffering brought us reconciliation and healing with God. By his stripes. What stripes? The flogging stripes. Jesus taking the 12, we are going up to Jerusalem. Everything that's written about the Son of Man will be accomplished. He will be delivered over to the Gentiles, mocked, shamefully treated, and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise. But again, as this has happened before in Luke's account, the disciples don't know what he's talking about. They cannot vision these things. They don't know. They are dull. Yes, they are dull. And we see that many times. They're dull. But it's also hidden from them. The text says they did not understand. It was hidden from them. It's not the right time for them to be fully aware of what's about to happen. Even though he's telling them, they will remember later that he told them that. But in the moment, this happened earlier in Luke chapter 9. Just listen. Let these words sink into your ears. This is what Jesus said. The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men. Let this sink into your ears. And the disciples' reaction is the same as here in chapter 18. They did not understand this saying. It was concealed from them so that they might not perceive it. And they were afraid to ask him about this saying. Like, we don't understand. Well, why don't you ask him? I'm not asking him. Can you imagine? I I mean, we're zooming toward the end of Luke, and you know this will be more and more. But Jesus humbled himself. I mean, he is the King of Kings. The whole universe is his. If you ever watch these documentaries that show the stars and planets and galaxies and all the cool stuff about space, and you think, okay, all of that belongs to Jesus. He actually made it. Without him, there would be no thing made that is made. He's before all things. And yet, he humbled himself. He was a baby. His parents fed him little bites of food like you did with your kids. Can you imagine this? This is God in the flesh. He humbles himself to become a helpless little baby. And his parents raised him, and he grew up not a rich man. He's a carpenter's son. But he does have tokens that God's with him, doesn't he? In fact, others see it too. He's obviously from God. No one could do these things unless that were true. Well, we'll get to more of that as we go through Luke. Verse 35, as he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. If we read the other gospel accounts, this man's name is Bartimaeus. And I think this is a great example of how to approach the Savior for mercy. Very good example. There are lots of people around. Bartimaeus cannot see what's going on. He's blind. He can hear. There's a commotion. Something's going on. He's like, what's up? What's up? What's happening? And they tell him the reason for the crowd. Jesus is passing through this area, which is, the text says, close to Jericho. Now listen, he's obviously heard of Jesus, right? Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He's heard this name before. And not just the name, but what follows with him. Healings, miraculous healings. How many healings? The text in some place says they were bringing all the sick to him and he was healing them all. When we lived overseas, there was a medical ship that was called the Ship of Life. It was a two-story ship that would go up and down the Mekong and the Bassac rivers and do free medical care, basically. They had a doctor on the ship and a dentist. And we became friends with the dentist. But we would ask them, how many patients do you see in a day? Like Leah, Jeannie, we say, how many patients do you see? The doctor said, between 100 and 130 per day. And the dentist, 50 to 60 people per day. They would do fillings, they would pull teeth, lots of people in poor health. You would be completely worn out if you saw 120 patients every day for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. Listen, Jesus, there were a lot more people that had issues with no way to resolve them in those times, right? There's no vaccines. There's no painkillers. Here, chew on this stick for a while, and it might give you a little bit of relief. Have some wine. But Jesus attended all these sick people all day. Hundreds and hundreds. This is why sometimes he heals them, and he says, don't tell anyone. I can't do anything else because there's so many people that need me. Try to picture it with your mind's eye. Jesus loves people. He's merciful and compassionate to them. And even while others sometimes say, be quiet, go away, that's not the attitude of Jesus. That is not the attitude of Jesus. This man, Bartimaeus, he's heard of Jesus. And he knows that he believes that Jesus could make him see again. He believes it. He's heard accounts of other people being healed. Verse 38, and he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." And those in front of him that were closer to Jesus, it seems like, rebuke him. Be quiet. They want to see Jesus maybe too. Are they being selfish? Do they not care about the blind beggar? You know, if you're in the flesh and you see a poor beggar, is it your default position to hold them in high esteem? It's not. But we need to be more like our Savior. Bartimaeus, he knew this was his chance. Here's his chance. Jesus is coming by. He can make me see. I know it. I believe it. Jesus! Jesus! He cries out. They tell him, be quiet, the text says. He cried out all the more. More and more. Listen. If you don't know Jesus, I pray that you'd cry out. And ask him to have mercy on you. He will. He will. Son of David, have mercy on me. And listen, did Jesus hear the blind man? Why did he care when others who were around didn't care? Listen, those who cry out for mercy, those who cry out in faith are heard. We read this morning in Psalm, in our responsive reading in Psalm 18, I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and am saved from my enemies. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. God hears and sees faith. This man is crying out. He has nothing. He doesn't ask Jesus for money or power. He wants to see. And as Jesus often does, Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought over to him. And when the man, Bartimaeus, came to him, Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? He knows already what Bartimaeus wants, doesn't he? I mean, he knows people's thoughts before they say them. He knows people's thoughts from an hour before. You remember? I saw you when you were under the tree. He's like, what? No one was there. It was just me. What do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, let me recover my sight. And what's Jesus' answer? Sorry, you're not one of the chosen. It's not his answer. Listen, if you don't cry out for mercy, if you don't believe, well, okay, that might be evidence that you're not one of God's people. And if you do cry out in faith and, oh, Lord, have mercy, that's evidence that God is saving you. But Jesus doesn't say, I'm healing you because you're in my list. He says, you believe. Of course I'm going to do it. You believe. Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well. Do you remember what Luke has already said about faith? Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, huge obstacles can be overcome. Even a mountain could be moved if you have a small amount of faith. Listen, Bartimaeus, does he have faith? The size of a mustard seed even? He believes according to Jesus. Jesus said, you believe. Recover your sight. Be well. Your faith has made you well. You believe in me. And verse 43, and he immediately recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Now, this is interesting. After being healed by Jesus, he is not like the nine lepers who ran away healed wickedly, never returning thanks. You remember Jesus says, weren't there 10 lepers? Where's the others? Are you the only one that would come and give thanks? This man is not that way. After recovering his sight, he follows Jesus, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God as well. And that's what happens for us. When we see people come to faith, don't we give praise to God and glory to God? Well, next time we'll read about Jesus and Zacchaeus. But that's today's text. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we are, when we read about the suffering of Christ and even that he knew about it way in advance, and because of the joy that was before him, he went to the cross and he purchased us. He redeemed us. He atoned for our sins. Oh Lord, would you help us to be like Jesus? Would you help us to humble ourselves and have the attitude of Jesus, that we would serve others? Father, we thank you for Bartimaeus and even his boldness. And we pray that you'd help us, that we would be people that are full of faith, that we would pray and that we would believe. You love us. You're able to do it. You'll do it. And help us, Lord, as we're blessed, that we would be a blessing to others. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.